Friday, Channel 9. Today I'm sitting with Paul Dietz, and Paul Dietz is a member of the Applied Sciences Group here at Microsoft. And as I was just telling him, some of the members, even within my team at Channel 9 in DPE, weren't aware of the Applied Sciences Group. So why don't you go into a little bit more detail and explain to us what it is you guys do?
So the Applied Sciences Group is a research team that's based within Microsoft hardware. We do a lot of stuff for mice, keyboards, webcams. And we also have other responsibilities to help out with Surface, which actually half originated in this group.
Okay.
And also we do a lot of work with Xbox and some other teams throughout E&D.
Sounds like a really fun group. So essentially you're the research team for Microsoft hardware.
Yes, yeah. And we work very closely with the hardware guys in MSR and as particularly also in Microsoft Research Cambridge.
Yeah.
So you may have seen the Mouse 2.0 stuff that recently came out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, Larry Larson from my team did a video on that. I don't know if it was someone from your team. Did you have anything to do with the Arc Mouse? I'm a big fan of that one.
No, actually. that was another group within hardware that did that.
Okay, cool. So now you personally are working on this project, which I found out about, and I thought it sounded fascinating. It's a pressure-sensitive keyboard. But explain to me exactly what that means.
Sure. A pressure-sensitive keyboard is one that can detect how much force is being applied to each depressed key. So it's almost the equivalent of making each key into a joystick, that there's a continuous measurement of force. So you can tell if I'm pushing down a little bit harder or really hard. And it can actually do that. It's an analog measurement, which it gets quantized. Right now we're sending about 8 bits out over, so there's about 200 or so levels that it can read. Internally, it's actually reading about 1,000. So it has a lot of resolution.
Okay, now initially my reaction to that would be like, oh, I mean, currently if I hold down any key, you know, hold on the A key just for a minute or a second, it'll push A and hold it down and go A. So what sort of added value would a pressure-sensitive key, what sort of how would I use this?
Well, there's a lot of different things you could do with it. And so we put together some sample applications, and I have a few here that I can show you.
Okay.
So because of the way that it's made, you know, those Mylar sheets don't make contact until the dome actually buckles down. So if I just touch the keyboard, nothing is happening at this point. But as soon as I press a key, you'll notice that it can detect it. And you can see the S key lighting up there. If I push a little harder, you can see that growing there. And this is a true analog measurement of force. You can do it too.
Okay, so I'm going to push the G. Woo!
So you see you have analog
control
over.
I like it.
And one of the things that's cool about this... This is essentially a multi-touch device. Matter of fact, our team does a lot of work with multi-touch. And so we said, why don't we just apply some of the ideas of multi-touch to keyboards?
Mm-hmm.
And so being a multi-touch device, you can press as many keys as you want simultaneously.
Right.
And they are all individually sensed. So you notice that if I'm pushing a bunch here, I can push something over here. And
yep.
It's that measurement isn't affected at all by anything that's going over here, just mechanically me moving. But
yeah.
So you do have effectively a multi-touch device to play with. I remember when I showed this to Johnny Lee of Wiimote fame,
mm-hmm.
The first thing he did is he said, well, gee, you know, I could even recognize simple gestures on this just using it as a coarse multi-touch sensor.
Yeah.
In a lot of games, you move around by using the ASDW keys, and that's what we've done here in this demo. We can move around using ASDW. But the thing that's different is that this is now pressure sensitive. So if I want to crawl, I can push lightly. Or if I want to go faster, I can just push a bit harder.
Awesome. I mean, coming from a PC gaming background, you know, you had to hit a separate button to crawl and a separate button to run. And this is great. This is awesome.
So here I am moving side to side. And because it is a multi-touch keyboard, I can push multiple keys at the same time. So here I'll do A and W to move diagonally. But changing the pressure levels on each, I can go at any angle I want. At any
full range of motion, beautiful.
And I can do little jumps, and I can do big jumps, and things like that. So, because every key is pressure sensitive, then our next little application we have here. This is a somewhat whimsical application, and this is imagine now that you're doing instant messaging.
And, I do that.
And so, when you're instant messaging, you're having a quick conversation. You'd like to convey a lot of emotion in what you're typing. But unfortunately, even though you can change font sizes and stuff like that, nobody does because it would take so much time to do that. Yeah. So what we did is we said, well, gee, wouldn't it be nice if you could just convey some emotion immediately while typing, that you don't have to go off and separately edit it later. So if I go over here and say, you know, just normal typing, you know. Right? You know, okay, fine, okay. Right? But let's say I want to convey a little bit more emotion in that. Yeah. So,
awesome.
You know, I can play around and change the force levels, you know, and I can do whatever I want with this. And so I can immediately say, or maybe, I hate, you know. So you get the basic idea. If you take a look, you know, here's a keyboard. This is our least expensive keyboard. And if you open it up, you'll see this is how almost all keyboards are built today. And okay. When I was a kid, keyboards had printed circuit boards and their individual switches soldered down. And there were hundreds of dollars even back then. Nowadays, you can buy keyboards for tens of dollars. And the thing that makes that possible is this dome and mylar construction that pretty much everybody has adopted. So if you take a look, there's a sheet of silicone rubber that has these domes. And the domes are what provide the tactile feedback. That's what gives you that little click feel to the key.
Sure.
And on the bottom side of the dome, there's a little nub. I don't know if you can see that in the picture there. That pushes down. And there are three sheets of mylar here. And these plastic sheets, basically, they're screen printed with silver ink. It's kind of like making T-shirts.
Okay.
And it's a very efficient process, very inexpensive. And so you basically make wires with the silver ink. So you have basically rows and columns, and you notice in the sheet in the middle here, there's holes. And what happens is when you push down on a key, it pushes the top sheet down so that it makes contact with the bottom sheet through that hole. And that completes the electrical circuit, and that's how the key...
The middle sheet just prevents the wires from touching each other in other locations?
Yeah. So the printing is on the insides here. And so that's what keeps it from making contact. And as soon as you press down, then it pushes it through the hole and it makes contact.
Seems pretty simple to me.
Yep. And so this is what has made inexpensive keyboards possible. So what we wanted to do was come up with a way of making a pressure-sensitive keyboard that basically used this same manufacturing technique with very slight modifications in order to make it affordable. So instead of using these mylars, we have our new set. And so same basic idea here. It's a little different. You'll notice that the pattern is different. It's still three sheets of mylar, and there's a set of holes in the middle. They're a little bigger now.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it looks kind of the same, except you notice there's these black spots.
Yes.
These are carbon ink, and carbon ink is resistive. Resistors are made out of carbon. So what happens now is when that dome pushes down, the carbon here in the center hits on that little three-wing piece there in the center.
Yeah.
And so if you were putting current through this circuit, you see the resistance going through this top piece through these lengths of wire made out of the carbon. When you push down harder, it starts to conform into the hole, and you're effectively touching more and more along
the little triangle. Yeah.
And so the resistance, then the length of that little tiny thin wire you have to go through, gets to be less and less, and so the resistance goes down, and you can measure that electrically.
Wow. And so it's not just length of time, but actually how hard you push.
Exactly. So this is a true measurement of force being used on the key. If you take a look, like in music synthesizers, if you buy a really inexpensive kid's keyboard, they'll typically just be on-off keys. If you buy something a little bit nicer, they talk about being velocity sensitive.
Yeah.
And so the idea there is that you can get some more expression, you know, that if you get the keys faster, that it can be louder and stuff like that. Well, those are typically done with they have two sensors that tell when it was here and when it was there, and they just measure the time in between. So that's measuring the speed of the key press.
Right.
If you buy an even more expensive synthesizer, kind of professional level, they'll often have a feature called aftertouch, which is so that you can change, you know, after the note's been hit, that you can kind of modulate the force and change some characteristic of the sound.
Well, at that point, you might as well just get a piano.
Yeah. Well, piano
that price is up
really
there.
Bad. But and typically that's only done, there's one sensor for the whole set of keys. So it's kind of a general measurement. On really expensive professional synthesizers, you will occasionally find ones that are actually every single key is sensed the force level. So so this is kind of similar in some ways to those very high-end keyboards. It doesn't do velocity sensing. It is doing this kind of aftertouch pressure sensing. But it is doing it on every key and independently and essentially simultaneously.
That's awesome. And I know that this is still a prototype. Do you have any idea, like how far off from marketing it may be from actually hitting store shelves?
I don't think I'm allowed to comment on that.
I love it when I ask the no comment questions. So I guess then you wouldn't be able to comment on an estimated price point.
Well, I can say this, that this method of making pressure-sensitive keyboards is not a huge cost adder. So these should be able to be manufactured for prices that are competitive with high-end keyboards.
All right. So last weekend, you guys went to Canada for a competition, a student competition called WIST. And what exactly is WIST?
WIST is the ACM, let's see if I can get this exactly right, the ACM Symposium on User Interface Software and Technology. And it's a conference that's been around for a number of decades now. And basically, it's a conference that user interface people go to to show off cool new ideas on how you might interact with a computer.
Awesome. So you guys challenge students to create original applications to use with this pressure-sensitive keyboard, correct?
Yeah. So when we first did this project, we did a number of sample applications, and we said, you know, really, you know, it's kind of like when we originally did the mouse for Microsoft Word, that, you know, we knew that we had a good application to use for the, you know, the mouse for, but of course there were millions of applications that literally that have since been written that use a mouse.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have no particular monopoly on good ideas. So we said, you know, this is a general tool, and we'd like to see lots of different sorts of applications come out for it. And rather than, you know, saying that we're going to come up with all of them, we thought it would be a really cool idea to get it out into the community and, you know, make up, because it is inexpensive to make up even the prototypes, that we'd make up a whole bunch of them and just start handing them out to people to start seeing what they would do with it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's sort of the... A theme among Microsoft. We'll give you the platform and you go ahead and develop for us, you know?
So we put a notice out to member people who were in the community. It ended up on YouTube 150,000 hits later.
Nice.
We started getting people, you know, replies saying they wanted to get a keyboard from Microsoft and be part of this contest. And so in the past, WIST has run student has run contests, and they've typically had a handful of teams, maybe 3 to 5. And we thought, well, because, you know, we were providing hardware, you know, that maybe we'd get like 10 or something.
Right.
There were 91 teams that that's asked us for keyboards.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a fun idea.
And they came literally from all over the world. It's quite amazing to see the reach of the internet and how this stuff spreads. So we had to put some limits on that because we didn't really want to make up 91 keyboards. We ended up making up 50 keyboards, and we put some constraints that they actually had to come to the contest, which of course was just held in Victoria up in Canada. So that got us down to about 40 teams. And so we shipped out these keyboards back at the end of September, end of August, and said, go to town, build something creative and cool. And Microsoft donated the prize money to set up a prize for most useful, most creative, and best implementation.
Great.
So I can show you some of the winners.
Please do.
So. So I have to say, as an event, this was really cool. At the conference, we had a separate room during demo night. Now we had the normal conference demos. Those were relatively poorly attended because everybody was in looking at the student demonstrations.
That's awesome. So, that's really cool. Good sign.
Yeah. So the kids just did an amazing job. There were so many amazing demos that showed up. So we had about 30 or so that when all of a sudden, you know, there were a few that dropped out because they had problems last second. They couldn't get something to work. But there were about 30 teams that had really interesting demos. And, you know, it was just a mob scene for the 3 hours that they were doing this. And so everyone at the conference was given tickets to vote for what they thought were the best in each category. And later on the next day, you know, they went through and counted the hundreds and hundreds of votes that there were and chose some winners. And, you know, I have to tell you that being there, I found it almost impossible to choose myself.
There was just so many cool ones.
Yeah, there were so many really good ideas there. So let me show you the winners.
Sure.
So one of the winners was a pressure-sensitive password program. Now, there have, as I mentioned, there in the past have been people who've looked at different applications, and doing pressure-sensitive passwords has been one that actually has been looked at in the past. This was just a stunningly good implementation of that. So this was a pressure-sensitive password system But it not only looked at, you know, how much force you hit the key with, but it also looked at how much force you would continue to use over time as you were switching from one letter to the next. And if you were still holding the first key while pressing the second, and at what force level. And they did some very nice modeling to try and find the parameters that stay consistent from time to time. And they had some amazing results that they were having success rates in the high 90s for being able to.
Yeah, I would think it would be hard to match the same force time and time again.
Yeah, so they did a really good job in pulling out the salient characteristics that make it really reliable and actually a practical system. So just knowing someone's password is not enough. That's right. You have to type it the same way. And they did it well enough that, people do change subtly from time to time, but their system worked well enough that it could account for that.
Very cool. What else do we have here?
So you remember I was talking about that if you hit multiple keys that you could disambiguate. These guys took that to an extreme. So this was a team from Harvey Mudd, and this one is called Heel Blazers. And they said, it would be really nice to be able to open up computing to amputees. And so they said, can we make a keyboard that works with feet? So, as you saw before, if you can deal with some wrong keys, why not deal with a lot of wrong keys? So they basically have a system where you can type with your feet, and you just have to approximately get your foot in the right position, and it figures out what you meant. And so it's doing some language modeling to understand also, correcting on that basis as well. And it's using the pressure sensitivity to help figure out kind of the centroid of where you meant. Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. This is one that was definitely kind of out there. And there were a number of ones that were out there. There were furry keyboards. This one.
So it's called Hidden Forces, one. Okay.
This is a group from Carnegie Mellon. And they did this system called Hidden Forces. And you can see that she's just waving her hand over the keyboard and stuff is happening. And you're saying, but the keyboard doesn't detect that. Well, what she did is modified the keyboard slightly. So what she did is she glued magnets onto those mylars. So then when you hold the magnet up above, it actually presses down. So you can interact with it as a keyboard, or you can hold the magnet up above and you can write and stuff and figure out where the magnet above it is and at different force levels.
Wow. And now, while that sounds fun, there's no real practicality or functionality for it, right? Just kind of wow.
Yeah. Maybe somebody will come up with something really cool.
That's right.
But, we definitely, the conference attendees thought, that's just very out of the box, a very cool idea.
Well, it's great for magicians.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This is awesome. And we're gonna check back as you guys make more progress on this keyboard and keep everyone at Channel 9 up to date. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Cool.